One last time, I need to be the one who takes you home. One more time, I promise after that, I'll let you go.
What is that? It's beautiful.
Ariana Grande, baby.
Is that a new song?
Old song, man. It reminds me of this episode.
This episode. Now listen, everybody. I've said this episode's great because I directed it. Forget
the Dude, this shit is good, dude.
Forget the
This is my favorite episode so far, dude.
I agree.
And dude.
I'm not just saying that because I directed. Direction aside, the script for this episode is fucking hilarious. You are fucking hilarious. You have like
I'll accept that.
You have like 5 laugh out loud moments.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Dude, this episode, and first of all, it's so funny. Listeners,
thank you.
Listeners, you have to understand that Bill Lawrence is so competitive that he gave me this episode. If you watch this episode, it is far and away more epic than any other episode before. It looks like a feature.
There's a car crash. All the characters, except Laverne, which was weird, everybody's in the freaking opening montage. Everybody's a big-ass party.
I'm literally on fire? I mean, you have to understand. I got this script and I was
saving
so...
Save it for the show.
I'm glad you're saying what you're saying because I was like, I'm watching this and I'm going, people are going to clown on me, but I think this might be the best fucking one of the...
No, it is, dude.
I think it's the funniest. It's the funniest, most epic episode so far.
It's the best episode so far of Scrubs. That's weird. So far, it's the best episode so far of Scrubs. It's pretty fucking good, dude.
It's so freaking good.
And I love all the directors that came before, and I love all the people who've written before, and all of the shows had great meaning. This episode feels like a feature film.
Yes.
Absolutely, dude.
And I wonder if that has something to do with the director. Let's look up and see who it was.
Oh, boy.
Scrolling.
Joel, can you look that up?
Can you look up who directed this one? Because it's fucking... feels different. It feels like... You know how WandaVision, you were saying, doesn't feel like a TV show? It feels like a feature?
I haven't watched yet.
No, yeah, I haven't either, but I'm saying...
Nobody's watched it. I love it. We're going to watch tonight, dude. I love it.
Listen. You know how everyone is saying, you were saying that WandaVision doesn't feel like a TV show? It feels like a feature?
Yes.
Well, I feel that about this episode of Scrubs. It feels like Scrubs the feature.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
It is so fucking funny. I have like so many pages of notes. I don't know how we're going to get through all this in the amount
of
time.
I'm glad you wrote a lot of notes because I was working on the recap in my mind.
Oh, are we going to get a special rap as promised?
We're going to start it right now. I'm going to rehearse it a couple of times. I'm not recording shit. Dano, you're going to have to.
It's okay. I was recording the whole time. It's all good.
It'll just be echoey. Everyone, Donald forgot to press play on his.
I forgot to hit
record. Your
levels are good, right?
Now they are. They're great. All right. So look.
So that's why he was echoey, because he was on the Zoom audio. Do you want to apologize to the listeners?
I apologize to everybody. I'm glad I looked down to make sure, though.
Because you were so enthralled by the direction of this episode.
It's the best episode, dude. It is. It really is. All right. So look, the recap.
Wait. Do you want to count into the show first?
No. Yeah. Sure. We could count into the show.
Can I do it because I directed the episode?
Absolutely, man. Go for yours.
Five, six, seven.
Here's some stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs Rewatch show with Zach and Dono.
We have so much to talk about. All right,
let me just rehearse this real quick, and then we can get into. We have so much to talk about.
What if the one that you rehearse is magical?
Then we don't.
Then
have
he recorded it, and then I got
we recorded
it.
It, and we got it. All right?
All right, go for yours, Donald.
All right, here we go. JD was like, can I freaky freak with Molly? To Elliot, who was hard-pressed, but probably, when I think of it, knew he had no chance in hell. So she sends him on a quest. Feel me, watch, he fails. This episode was directed by Z Bizzle. After Garden State came out, so he was starting to sizzle. And Dollar Bill was like, I don't want the boy to fizzle. I'll let him direct. Peep the scenario-izzle. back lock, crazy shots, improvise what you got, treed by a coyote, that's kinda hot, top pinata, chocolate, so's your face, Dr. Cox, Molly Shannon, Molly Cock, zip line, cause she's hot, all well received by the populace, cause like Prime ZB was an optimist, I rock it like Olajuwon, serving MCs like a restaurant, you could just call the Faisons, that's the recap, but it wouldn't be complete without shouting out DJ Daniel and Joel Monique.
Yeah.
Come through.
Bro.
That was amazing.
Bro. Dude, I feel like it's my birthday and you gave me the best present you've ever given me.
Bull bars.
I hope that you can put this together.
Oh, don't you worry about a thing. That was hard. What was the metronome set to?
95 beats per minute.
Dude, look how happy you made your beat maker.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Dude, that was incredible. You are... I mean, I'm not just saying this because I love you. You're a really good writer of raps and rhymes.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
No, you...
You are a really good director and writer of movies. Dude, you know what? You know what I say to everybody all the time? And because you're like already a really good actor. I think you're a better director than you are an actor. And that's saying a lot because you're a really good actor, dude. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Like, I'm excited for you to be doing Cheaper by the... Dozen and everything like that. I like it when you direct things too. Like this episode so far, in the shows that we've watched, this is the most. And I, Bill, I'm sorry. I know you're gonna hate me for saying this.
No, he's not. That's all an act.
This is the best episode, man. This is the best episode.
It really is. And I'm glad you agree because I gotta say, you know, when have we haven't ever done this exercise of sitting down and watching them all in a row. And they all have great things about them. But there's just something about this episode that kicked everything up a notch. And I can say that because it isn't just the direction, although I am proud of the way I directed it in 5 days, which if you are in production at all, know is fucking insane when you look at the scope. Of this episode.
How are you able to get all of the stuff with Molly Shannon and freaking Johnny and then still get all of the stuff with me, you, Heather Graham, and then still get the cold opening, which and then get the stunts?
And what about like the fire?
Right.
And by the way, that ambulance stuff is all I mean, there's a few green screen shots in the ambulance, but for the most part, that's all practical, which means we are literally towing around a giant ambulance and setting up cameras mounted on it, doing an accident. We had never done something with this amount of scope and scale to it in all of Scrubs. Now, as we go on, of course, we have other ones. We have the musical, which was the most epic. We have the Princess Bride one and stuff. But this so far was the biggest thing we ever took on.
And it didn't. What was great is that it didn't feel out of place. Like when we get to the musical, and when we get to the Wizard of Oz one and everything like that. And then when we get to the fantasy one, the Princess Bride one and everything, it gets a little fantasy-ish. Like, this felt like License to Drive. This felt like, you know, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You know, if you merged the two of those movies together, this was it. I was Corey Feldman. You were Corey Haim. Heather Graham was... Well, Heather Graham was... Heather Graham? In License to Drive? Yeah.
Was she in License to Drive? I never saw it.
Dude, yeah, dude. Look at Heather.
I got to see it. But, dude, I got to tell you that I couldn't believe it's 21 minutes. I mean, 21 minutes. It's a short film. It's tiny. But look how much we accomplished in 21 minutes.
Dude, I can't believe that you have never seen License to Drive. I'm just a little
disappointed. All right, I'll put it on my list. We're looking for new things to watch.
Look. All right, look, when I was a kid, this movie meant everything to me. And it starred Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, and a very, very, very young Heather Graham. Okay? This is like how the world was introduced. Like, you might have been introduced to her through Boogie Nights. I was introduced to her through... License to Drive.
All right, License to Drive. Do you think it holds
up? Disappointed in you right now, dude. Dude, I'm so disappointed in you right now. I can't believe it. And that's what this freaking... All right, so look, Corey Haim, we got to get into it. Corey Haim...
Well, give us the cliff notes. We have so much to talk about with this episode.
Okay, Corey Haim is a kid in high school, and it's him. He's trying to drive for the weekend. He built up the courage one night to ask out Heather Graham, and she said, yeah. And so he's built up the courage to, he did that. And so he's got to get his license in order to get the car from his dad. He fails the test, sneaks out with the car, and crashes it. He goes to his best friend, Corey Feldman, to help him fix it. And they go on an adventure so he can have this ultimate date with Heather Graham. That's kind of the cliff note. She kind of passes out and all of that stuff like that. And all hell breaks loose. But that's the cliff notes, dude. It's the same exact shit, dude. And you can't find, and you couldn't see the connection in it. And you directed an episode that was so similar to that movie, License to Drive, where we all met Heather Graham.
Oh, wow. Never... I didn't know that. I wonder if that was in Bill or Mike Schwartz, who wrote this episode's mind at all, since it's like an homage.
Let's ask Bill and or Mike Schwartz. Bill, Mike Schwartz.
Let's ask is... Bill. Bill, go ahead. Yes,
Bill,
go ahead.
Is this a homage to License to Drive, the awesome Corey movie that starred Heather Graham?
Hey, fellas. I never saw License to Drive. I think the only movie I saw with the Coreys in it was Lost Boys. And I have to watch that a lot because Krista dated one of the Lost Boys back when she was younger. So that needs to be pointed out to me a lot. License to Drive, though. There's so many movies that are kind of an odyssey of can I get from point A to point B. See you guys.
Anything with two Coreys is a special film.
Lost Boys?
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
All right, let's get into it. So the show opens with a fantasy, which I couldn't remember that ever happening. Do you recall in since we've been watching if a show ever opened with a fantasy?
No, I didn't. I did not. Was it a fantasy?
Yeah, they're all these seniors are having a party, like Cocoon style.
And I thought it was right. Yes, I didn't. I don't know that we've ever done that.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't recall. And then so we walk in, and then everyone's partying. They hide, and then I see 2 feet, and I pull back the covers, and there's 2 old men cuddling. And one of them goes like, go back to your bed, Jerry. And he goes, I love you. That was funny. And this is the first time we hear So's Your Face?
Yeah, I guess so. I was going to say, this is a monumental moment because I've used this for
you love
my
So's
whole
Face.
Life since So's Your Face was introduced
you
to me.
You have really, really stuck to So's Your Face since this moment.
It's the best comeback ever.
I've seen you use it on people that are bothering you on your Instagram. You say, so's your face.
And or Twitter, so's your face. It's the best I'm rubber, you're glue. You know what I mean? It makes the person really think about what they're going to say after you say that. Once they realize, oh, so's your, my face is that too? They realize that.
And then someone like, I think Sarah says something like, that doesn't even make any sense.
So's your face.
So's your face always makes sense.
It just, but that doesn't even make sense. So's your face. That makes sense.
Right. That scene with them all dancing. One of them's doing curls. It was really funny. Yeah. Like Cocoon style. Now, Molly does a crab claw thing. Crab claw to try and get Sarah mad at her.
Right.
But you know what made me laugh harder than crab claw was the mentally disturbed man who runs in and says they're here, ignite the tractor beam, and she totally deadpan goes, I should go, that's my 2 o'clock.
Yeah. But he didn't have his shirt on either.
He didn't have his shirt on, and then he strikes a pose. What did he do? He was like he like hissed like a cat. That guy was amazing.
Really awesome.
That
really
guy was
awesome.
Funny. There's an example of how an actor can come in and have one sentence and just fucking kill it. That guy was hilarious.
He was very funny. I laughed out loud a lot in this episode. You know, and while watching this, in my mind, I'm like, yo, who the fuck directed this? At this point, I'm like, this shit is fucking hilarious.
Wait a minute.
And then
I'm
like, oh, I know I knew. But in my mind, it was like, this is crazy. Who directed this? Oh, that's right. My boy ZB.
Yeah, he did. All right, now listen. There's so much that fucking happens in this first. Even the cold open is so much that happens. So then
Todd.
You get then wait before you get to Todd.
Okay.
One of the funniest line exchanges in Scrubs history. Sarah, you actually rank the women of this hospital by appearance? And I go, calm down, 12. And she goes, yes, top 20.
Yeah.
I wanted to be mad, but it was funny.
It was calm funny. Down.
Calm down, 12.
The fact that Molly Clock wasn't number one also, and Nurse Tisdale's number one. That had me rolling also.
Yeah, and we haven't seen Nurse Tisdale in a while. I think the only time we saw Nurse Tisdale, we talk about her a lot, when she walked down the hallway.
The Phoebe Cates, Fast Times, Richmond High.
Yeah, she's apparently the hottest. Although, Gift Shop Girl was also, I mean, there's a lot of hot employees.
There's so many of them.
But anyway,
But Carla's not on the list because she's married.
Yeah, you're so funny. By the way, you put your foot in your mouth with Carla in so many funny ways in this. The first time is when you go, oh, baby, we only rank the single women. You actually rank the women in this hospital by appearance? Calm down, 12. Yes, top 20. That shit's hilarious. All right, then we go to the party that we're throwing.
Oh.
And Elliot has bought Molly a going-away pinata that's shaped like
it's
her.
It's missing. Right.
And then we flash to Todd, who says it's getting late. The big dog wants some candy. He's trying to fuck the pinata.
He's sitting next to the pinata.
Yeah.
And he says that, yes.
Now, when he comes into the party, his face is covered with chocolate.
Sorry, I'm late.
Now, are we supposed to believe...
He ate the shit out of that.
Right, but are we supposed to believe, like... He made out with it, or he...
No, he ate that shit's asshole. He ate the pinata's butt.
Oh, I didn't know if it was cunnilingus or analingus, but something happened.
I think the joke is because he has chocolate around his mouth that it's right. Like the doo-doo.
Well, it was either analingus or cunnilingus, but the point is that he went down on the pinata.
Hardcore.
I think it's safe to say that he may be the first person in television history to go down on a pinata. I don't know. Joelle Google.
Wow, that's saying a lot. That's saying
a lot.
I'd
like to not turn my key for that Google. All right.
Joelle, I don't want to fuck up your Google searches, so don't look for that.
Oh, they're far gone at this point.
Oh my god. I like the fact that at the party, JD true to his word, drinking an Appletini.
Yes. Yep.
Sipping it
well. By the way, so at the bar party, do you know who that beautiful woman is that I'm talking to before the fire event?
No.
That's Amy Ferguson, who in Garden State was the beautiful girl at the ecstasy party that I hook up with. Okay. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's funny. I'm looking at the French poster of Garden State that I have in my office, and it's got more Amy Ferguson on it than Natalie, which is funny because, you know, Natalie's stunning, but I think because the movie had this sort of sexual moment with Amy Ferguson, she's literally on this collage poster like four times.
So that you're saying the
Natalie's French on like- once, but Amy Ferguson's on like four times.
So you're saying the French like sex?
I'm saying yes, the French like to sell sexy women more than anybody.
Well, they made up the kiss. They made up that kiss.
Oh, they made up the French kiss? I don't know if they really did make up the French kiss, but man, they figured something out, those
French. That's a great invention. Whoever made up that, it's the French, it has to be. It's
when that
in
movie
the name.
Was over, when Garden State came out, so many men would come up to me like, hey man, love the movie. By the way, who's that girl that's in the ecstasy party scene? And anyway, she was a friend of mine and Amy Ferguson. And so now it's funny because now that I was able to cast, because I was directing, I put a couple of my friends in and so Amy's the girl I'm flirting with at the bar. Okay, now this fire thing, I want you to know how hard this was to shoot because I am literally on fire. And we did one of these cowboy switches that we've told you about so when I first catch on fire because of Doug and his fire shots, that's literally me on fire. I had the whole fucking thing they put on you. They put on these layers and layers of anti-flame retardant gel and then like, I don't know, it's almost like sweatsuit material and then another layer.
This is just for your back.
This is just for my back because they were like, will you do this? And I was like, yeah, I'll go for it. I'll do it. It was really scary. The stuntmen were incredible.
Your hair, dude. That's all I was worried. I was like,
I had the gel
so
all.
Close. Yeah,
you have the gel all over your hair. And so what happens is in the stunt, I then ran to the bathroom, if you recall, and then we cut. And what's all real on camera is for part two, the stuntman, incredible stuntman, did a full burn. That is to say, every single thing on his body, that's all real. That's not augmented at all when you watch him running on fire. You remember this, Donald?
No, and dude, are you?
And then I was hiding down for part two. I was hiding below, all made up to look like I'm burnt. And then he comes in running through, falls down, and then I pop, and then Donald sprays with the fire extinguisher, and then I pop up burnt. And I'm talking about her because she was talking about her nephew or something. I'm like, yeah, that's a crazy age. And I sip my Appletini. So it was crazy and just funny. It's just all I could think of when I was watching it was this is the ultimate example of Bill Lawrence's competitiveness. He's like, no, it'll be great. It'll be great. You're going to direct. So in one of the early scenes, you're going to be fully on fire.
Right. Well, just you laugh because it's like you're set on fire, but if you really think about what it takes to have to do that for a scene and how much time it takes, the safety protocol.
Yeah.
Also, there were so many people in the area. You know, I remember the stuntman being like, Donald, you got to put me out, dude. Like giving me the dude, you have to spray.
No, because you, but I think someone else was, another stuntman was off camera helping you, right? Or it wasn't just all you.
I'm not exactly sure. I do remember the look in my eye, like you got this, right? Type shit. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, I'd never seen a stuntman do something like that in person. Obviously, we've all seen it in the movies. It was fucking insane that he did that. That someone would do that. I think the gel and the covering buys you like, I don't know what the time is, like 30 seconds. I mean, I'm sure people.
He didn't do it just once. He did it a couple of times. It was he did it one time with us, with the wide shot, and then he did it. He did it again. Like there were several cameras, but yeah. I remember watching him do it also, and then I remember stepping in and doing the
scary
spray also. Yeah, dude, it was.
But it's so fucking funny. I mean, cut into the thing with the cowboy switch and me just popping up. So,
yeah.
Seven, that's a crazy age with the burn marks all over my face.
Right. Crazy.
I really love that. I'm proud of how great that still looks. This many years later, it looks fucking flawless.
Amazing. Amazing.
What about the fact that you don't know that your wife is Dominican? And this is going to be a recurring theme when we get to the musical, obviously.
He thinks she's Puerto Rican.
So much so that when we get to the musical for the last time, Turk, I'm Dominican.
If you know Puerto Rican and Dominicans, that's an issue too. You know, in New York City, Dominicans are like, I'm not Puerto Rican, I'm Dominican. And Puerto Ricans are like, I'm not Dominican, I'm Puerto Rican. That's real talk.
You blame it on me, which is funny. You go.
Yeah, guess what? Well, guess what you were wrong. Guess what else you were wrong about? Carlos Dominican.
Like you were relying on me to know what your wife is.
Yeah. like one night we were hanging out and I was like, I wonder what's my wife like? They had to be baked. They couldn't be baked. But it's like, what's my wife's nationality? Where is she from? And you're like, dude, trust me. She's Puerto Rican.
She's Puerto Rican, Turk. I know this.
You sure about this?
Yes, I trust me. Trust me, she's Puerto Rican. Right. You rely on him. Well, you know what you were wrong about? Carlos Dominican. Oh, my God. All right, so then God bless Molly's Everywhere. Someone paid to license 16 Candles. Thank you.
Right.
Now, that scene in 16 Candles, I remember my sister loved that. We both love that movie. My sister, like so many women and gay men, loved Jake Ryan from 16 Candles.
I mean, whatever happened to Jake Ryan, man?
You know, I think he got out of the business because he stopped working. But so many women were like, yeah, that's accurate. Jake Ryan, that's what I want.
He was like the typical looking New England dude, yo. Like, that was like...
He was like an Abercrombie and Fitch model.
Right. Like, I think he could have played Captain America. He would have been Captain America back then. Chris Evans is like the Jake Ryan now. You know what I mean? Like, they got that similar look. The dark hair, the blue eyes.
Okay, here's a little something from Joelle. Michael Schoefling is his name. His final acting credit was in the 1991 film Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. He's since retired from acting and resides in Pennsylvania with his wife. Not much is known about his life now, but he does own a woodworking shop. I just feel like every girl I knew had a crush on that guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, there he is kissing Molly Ringwald at the end of the movie, and I say, God bless Molly, and God bless Molly's everywhere. Now, it's just a bit interesting that we have an extra Molly because we have the delightful, hilarious Molly Shannon as a guest star on this episode.
She was so great, dude. Okay. Had she started doing dramatic stuff yet?
I don't know. It's a good question. But she, Joelle's going to look. But I got to tell you, Donald, there is no better example of a guest star bringing it.
She steals the show, dude.
She's incredible.
She steals the fucking show, dude.
It made me want to hire her to work with me in something new. I mean, yes. I know everyone's hiring her. She's doing great, but I just want to work with her again. This reminded me how good she is.
She steals the show, dude. Like I love the nostalgia of watching what Turk and JD go through so that JD can have that one moment with Molly at the end. And the music at the end also phenomenal. But what Molly Shannon does is like, it's great, man. She does the John Candy Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a hard character to do because it usually comes off very obnoxious.
Of course. The trick of that character is, can you be that annoying but have the audience like you? I mean, that's the challenge.
That's very
and she
difficult.
Nails it because you're partially watching through Johnny C, and that scene where she's in the house with Krista and Johnny C is very funny, but you're partially watching from the Cox point of view and being like, oh my God, this fucking woman, but she's so fucking charming still because what Molly brings to it, you just like her and you root for her. And that's even before you find out what happened to her kid at the end, which is,
well, if you listen,
we'll get there to that turn, but that was beautiful. Right.
She was she's so wonderful on this on the show. And that was really cool also.
Do you want to ask me a question? Pretend that I'm a Molly and I came on the show. Just say what was it like to work on the show?
Hey, so you know, Molly, what was it like to work with Zach Braff?
He's a very good director. I really like it when he gave me good notes.
Was that your Molly Shannon impersonation?
Yeah, I know it's similar to DJ Khaled, but and Aaron Neville. How about Ice Tongue? So JD is apparently runs to the kitchen when he's making out with Molly. In the world of Scrubs, JD is making out with Heather Graham and decides that he's going to run to the refrigerator freezer to grab ice because he thinks that ladies like ice tongue.
I like ice tongue.
Really? I've never ice tongued.
You've never been like drinking.
Oh, ice tongue.
Ice what? Tongue is when you're like drinking, when you're drinking soda or something that requires it to be cold with ice. And then after let the ice hit your tongue, you kiss somebody who doesn't have that in their mouth, that doesn't have the cold feeling in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's refreshing. It's way
Joelle,
more.
Joelle, were you saying you liked ice tongue or you'd never heard of it?
It's way
more.
I was saying
I did not know what that was.
Oh. Yeah,
it's way more refreshing than smoked tongue.
Ew.
All right.
You know, it's way more refreshing than smoke and mint tongue, too.
Yeah, but okay, so I guess it's one thing if you're making out with your person and you have a cold drink in your hand and you make your tongue cold, okay? This guy's running to the kitchen to put
he's using it as a method of seduction.
Yeah. Yes. Along with olive oil on his lips.
Yes.
Who told him that was a good idea?
I have no idea.
It's so funny. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about JD putting olive oil on his lips. We'll be right back.
Show with Zach and Donald.
And we're back.
We're back. Maria Antoinette. Molly Shannon's first dramatic role was in 2006. Maria Antoinette.
I didn't know she was in. That must have been Sofia Coppola's movie with Kirsten Dunst, perhaps? I don't know.
Yes.
Well, Molly Shannon, man, I mean, that was just an incredible performance. We're going to get to the end, which gets even better.
We'll get that later. Yeah.
What about Shinsky? Let's talk about Shinsky.
Yeah, let us talk about Shinsky.
So we're
it didn't kill him, though.
It didn't kill him. He falls off the roof. First of all, that's our hospital roof that clearly someone just they put a different wall on it. But that's
originally I do believe it did kill Shinsky, and they changed that, didn't they?
Yes, I think Shinsky died, and then someone decided to soften it. Why? Right. Oh, maybe they didn't want JD responsible for killing someone.
I wasn't really responsible.
I just threw him a beer. It's not my fault. He fell off the fucking roof.
Well, he reached. It was a bad throw.
It was a bad throw. But do you really think that that's what they softened it? They're like, because it is corrected in voiceover that I go. Shinsky didn't die that day, but our friendship did. Shinsky. I mean, shit, where the fuck does Shinsky come from?
Same place Mickhead came from.
I've got the full mullet. You've got your high top fade.
It's not even a fade. It's look, I love the fact, because this is real talk, and a lot of my brothers out there know exactly what I'm talking about. You get the fresh cut when you're young. A lot of us don't got money like that to get another fresh cut the next week or the next cut in the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you would go a month and a half, 2 months without a fresh cut. If you look at Turk's hair, that's Turk's hair.
Turk didn't have money for the fresh flashback. Cut.
He didn't have money for a fresh cut, so his fade is no longer. It's still got the box shape, but it's damn near an afro.
Do you remember when they were picking those wigs, that do you remember thinking like, oh, this needs to be cleaned up, or it's funny like that?
I was like, why can't we use the one from the pilot? Because the one in the pilot is sick. And they were like, no, it just doesn't look realistic enough. I was like, this shit doesn't look realistic. I used to be so mad, but they were like, it's funny. I'm sorry. This is what it's going to be.
It was funny, but I didn't, for someone who doesn't have that kind of hair, I didn't know.
It was always lops. I used to hate when I had to put that on because it was always.
Oh, really? I thought it was so funny.
Well, hindsight.
I mean, we're not supposed to look good, dude. Look at my fucking mullet.
Dude, no doubt. Hindsight being 2020. Well, I was thinking kid and play high top fade. Hindsight being 2020, it is hilarious when I look back at it now. But that being said,
right.
At the moment in time, I was like, I just want a fresh cut. Please give me a fresh cut.
I don't know why they couldn't clean. Can't you clean a wig up? Can't you like cut it and shape it?
Dude, my wigonomics is not really high. I don't have a high wigonomics queue.
I don't know what that means. You mean your wig knowledge?
Or wigonomics. It's a science, dude.
All right. Now, how about when science. I push That's you in science. The fucking bushes? That shit's hilarious. Because Molly tells me she only is attracted to like troubled guys. I go on this huge monologue about how fucked up my life is and how fucked
very
up I
well
am.
Done, too. Not Thank only you. Did you have to direct, but you had to deliver a heartfelt need to get that ass monologue.
Yeah, need to get that ass monologue. That is the ultimate example of like, say whatever you got to say to get the girl.
To get that ass. Fucking the girl. To get that ass.
That ass. I mean, first of all, let's talk about how there's two moments in this where I was called upon to shoot Heather. Talk about a good directing assignment for your first TV job. In the script, there's two moments that are sort of sexual fantasies about Heather Graham. Will you be able to accomplish those, Mr. Director? Yeah, I got this.
But she gives it to you at the end, too, but the innocent version of it. Oh. You know what I mean?
The stretch with the thong? I mean, I'm sorry to sound like a teenage boy, but when she does the yawn stretch with the thong showing?
Yeah, but it's the lip bite.
The lip bite. You know I'm a sucker for a lip bite. I must but have she, requested that. I don't know if she was throwing in lip bites left and right without me.
Well, she's always done it. I'm telling you, look at License to Drive. Like,
oh, did
look
she
at
throw license, lip bites in License to Drive?
And in Swingers. And it, oh, come on, dude.
I didn't know Heather Graham was a lip biter.
It's like it was like a signature type of thing. So you asked her to do it. She does it for you when the sexual fantasy, and then she gives it to you at the end when it's the goodbye so long, and it's even better because it's the cute, you know, it could have been us. It could have been us, but.
I am such a, that's my kryptonite. I'm a sucker for the lip bite.
Dude, it's, man. You captured all of the, look, man, it's not because I love you.
It is because I do,
but you captured all of the great moments from my youth that I love about movies. If I walk away from a movie feeling like this is almost like La La Land. You know what I mean? What if they would have?
That's the highest praise there is from you.
No, but think about it. What if they would have gotten together? You know what I mean? And then Elliot would have never, the whole thing with Elliot would have never happened. It's such an important moment in, and JD doesn't even realize it. It's such an important moment in the JD Elliot relationship. It's obvious her sleeping with your brother isn't going to ruin the relationship for the two of you. But you sleeping with her best friend, with her mentor, would fucking devastate her.
I know. We're being so... It's like War of the Roses. I mean, Elliot and I are fucking going for broke in terms of fucking with each other. She fucked my brother. Now I'm trying to sleep with her fucking mentor. It's like war.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great, I mean, like, dude, you did a really good job. This is well directed, and kudos to the crew. Kudos to who wrote this episode.
It's Mike Schwartz. I mean, you know how it goes. They all work on it, but Mike is the head writer on this.
Kudos to the writers. Kudos, Mike Schwartz. Like, well edited. Everything was well edited. You know what I mean? Like, it's lit well. It's an epic adventure.
Yeah.
In Scrubs that fits this before we went off the rails, before we're crazy out of control. It's an epic adventure that still fits the Scrubs mold. After this season, we're gone, dude. It's like,
what do you mean? You feel like the tone changed in season 5?
I think we get so wacky by the time, like, we're starting to show you wackiness here. Like, if we're dealing out little bits of wackiness here. By the time we get to season 5, season, dude, my hand freezes and I use it on my wife's head when she's pregnant.
I know, but we have all these moments.
We've
already talked about there's moments where like it's so, the show's already been so surreal.
It gets.
But I don't know. Maybe you're right. I honestly don't remember what happens in each season.
Dude, our big adventures after this aren't this. Our big adventures after this are musicals. Our big adventures are Wizard of Oz homages, and our big adventures after this are fantasies to, you know, like this. That was what we were spending money on after that. We got really, what's the word I'm looking for?
Silly.
No, not so. We got special effects-y. You know what I mean? Like, it just got, everything got really, it got brighter. We got shiny all of a sudden when it became the special episode. This still fit the mold of, this is what Scrubs look like. We were still, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, you just love it. How about that scooter stunt into the wall? Now, I remember saying to the stuntman, because I was directing and also supposed to be on the scooter, that you've somehow fixed, all like Turk knows how to fix scooters. I remember saying to him, like, so how do we do this? Like, how do we make sure you don't get hurt? He's like, well, I really just have to drive it into the wall. And I was like, there's nothing really to be done to ensure your safety. And he's like, no, I'm just going to drive the scooter into the wall. Because he does. I mean, I don't know if we sped it up a tiny bit maybe in post, but he just fucking drives that scooter in the wall and hits the wall.
Straight up. And then there's blood on the wall.
Yeah, and the janitor's pissed. Is this your head blood?
Is this your head blood?
Now, that was fucking... Now, first of all, it's in addition to all the things that made this epic, we had to go out to the middle of nowhere to do this place where the janitor drops me off. Do you remember we went there?
I don't know where that was, but I remember that it felt like we were running on a track when we were running.
No, I remember we location scouted for it, and it, you know, we were looking for, it has to feel like middle of fucking nowhere. And we shot it at night, obviously. And I remember it just being, I remember we had a crane because there's some cool crane shots, but I remember laughing so hard at So many things. The janitor pushes me out of the van, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he goes, it's been 4 years. How do you not get how this works? You know, because he's just leaving me in the middle of nowhere.
It was a great, it's how you get stranded. This, look, man, I can't say this enough.
You've made your point. It reminds me of License to Drive.
No, but how do you make this? How do you make this show with all these ridiculous look like, dude? The scope of this. Where did we shoot this? Tell me, please.
I know that. I mean, I'm sure it was, you know, within a half hour from the hospital in the valley. This middle of nowhere moment, and then
it had to be a park. It was a park. It had to be a park.
Well, I know there's like fucked up cars and shit. We added that. I don't think there was any like garbage there and stuff. We added that stuff. But dude, so how funny is I call you and I call you on my cell phone and then what happens? You're checking your diabetes.
Right.
And I say, come here, I need you. And then Judy drives you. And then what happened? You say something that offends her again.
She says, I can't believe he's doing this for sex. And I go, it's not for sex. It's for sex with Molly. Shit. I'd kill someone to have sex with Molly.
Oh, yeah. And she goes, and your fiance's,
wife.
Sorry, your wife's not really down with that.
She's like, that's it. And she drives off, leaving us.
Yeah.
And then you come back. And then you come to me and I'm like, yo, what were you doing all the way out there? And you were
like, I was treed by a coyote.
And I was like, oh, you got your phone?
He took it.
And then we're running in the field.
That shit's hilarious. My outfit's too tight. Mine's too loose.
Mine's too constricting. Mine's too loose.
And then we switch.
Much better.
And
then you're like, I don't think I can make it. And I'm like, just think about Molly. And then you cut to the fantasy. Start running really fast. Now that's what I'm talking about.
Oh my God. By the way, you look ripped.
This is back then. This is when I thought I was fat. This is when,
you weren't fat, man. Your body looks fierce.
I wish like I looked Tay like Diggs. That. Like Tay Diggs, baby. I wish I looked like that still.
You look fierce. I've never heard a coyote called a coyote. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Sure.
All right. But it's, I've never heard the expression being treed by something. Have you heard that?
Yeah. Like I roofed it or you treed that shit.
I never heard that before, but there's something so funny about saying that I was treed by that coyote.
Did you improvise that shit too, if I remember correctly, right?
I don't think I mean, it may have been one thing that was great about this episode, by the way, is I do have some jokes in for the first time ever, I had some jokes that were written in because we scheduled me directing this. Obviously, a director needs a week to prep. So we would, when every time I directed any of the Scrubs episodes I directed, it would come after a hiatus week that we had. So I could have that prior week to prep. And one of the great things about prepping was when I wasn't off location scouting or casting or doing other things directors do, Bill was totally down and welcoming me into the writer's room. So I would sit with the writers on my episodes and pitch jokes just like everybody else. And so I do have a handful that got in here. But I can't take credit for treed by coyote because I didn't even heard that expression before.
Oh, okay.
It's hilarious.
There it is.
We may have made up he took it together. Got your phone? He took it.
He took it.
JD, where are you? Hurry. Oh, my goodness. I remember when we were shooting that, Bill came down to set and he was like, oh, my God.
I do remember this. He's like, can I talk to you for a second?
He started making fun of me. What did he expect?
Did he take you aside? Was he like, yo, hold on, come here?
He was being a dick because obviously
it was out of control though. We had been on that, like I was there, like
I don't know why you were there. There was no reason for you to be there. Why were you visiting set that moment?
Because we were shoot, it was still shooting. We were still shoot, dude. We had to shoot all of that in one day. We had to shoot her.
No, I'm talking about her in bed, going, JD. Where are you?
That's the bedroom next door to the apartment. That's the apartment room. So we shot all of the apartment stuff that day. So
oh, I don't know. All I remember is a bit, it was a really embarrassing moment because, it's, first of all, it was written into the script that this Molly in lingerie is calling for me. All right. But of course, you know, Bill comes to set and I've got like Heather Graham in lingerie in bed doing her lip bites and the camera's dollying in and there's like atmosphere, smoke in the air. And I remember Bill being like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like trying to embarrass me in front of the crew. Like I'm some like, I don't know, fucking pervert. But I'm like, you wrote it, bro. I'm just fucking executing this shit.
Very funny and very, very funny for the joke.
Yeah. And she, you know, she was so game too. Like, you know, Heather, you could have someone like Heather who's been a sex symbol type for so long who could say like, oh, come on, I'm not going to do another one of these like blonde bombshell fantasy things. But she was like so in on the joke and fun about it.
You ever see Bowfinger?
Oh my God, I love Bowfinger.
Best movies ever.
When he go when Eddie goes, you're doing a great job.
You're doing great. You're gonna be a big star.
I gotta rewatch Bowfinger. I only saw it once.
What?
Yeah, you've seen it more than once?
Oh my goodness, I've seen that movie so many times. I never thought I'd ever see a movie with two people like Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin. I thought Eddie Murphy had gotten to the point where he didn't have to do movies with people like that anymore. Like, he was enough. But Eddie, first of all, he steals the movie, but Steve Martin carries the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really
interesting. I gotta watch it again. I remember laughing so hard.
It's really interesting. I get the dynamic of having the two now. Like, when you had Sidney Poitier and Bill Cosby do movies together. I get the dynamic, or when you have like Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau or Zach Braff and Donald Faison. I get the dynamic. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just get the dynamic, and I thank Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin for that.
Like, well, if you haven't seen Bowfinger. Our friends, listeners, check it out. It's laugh out loud funny. And Eddie Murphy plays twins, right?
He does play twins. He plays Kit and he plays his twin brother.
And the nerdy one is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Well, the dialogue that Kit has is really funny also, dude. Like, you know, he's a part of this religious cult, and the reason why he's a part of it because he's going crazy. He hears a voice in his head. And they're like, well, what's the voice say to you, Kit? He's like, as I sit here before you, the Laker girls must be taken down a peg or two.
Oh, my God. I'm going to watch this movie tonight. You're reminding me how funny it is.
It's so good, man. It's so funny. And it's about making a movie in Hollywood where, you know, you don't have a budget and so you're stealing ways to make movies.
Right.
And this dude hires a bunch of people from Home Depot.
Oh my God, that's right. That's right.
And then
I remember another reason I really liked it. It was like a comedy that's also behind the scenes of making a movie, which I always appreciate.
And so, you know, at the beginning these guys have zero idea on how to, you know, work a camera, and by the end of it, they're great. It's just such a funny movie, man. It's
all
such
right,
a funny
movie. There you go. There's your recommendation of the week, everybody. Check out Bowfinger. Let's talk about how we find Kelso with a prostitute.
You got to take your shoes off if you're coming in, boys.
If you guys want to come in, you have to take your shoes off. So it's official, everybody. Kelso. Enjoys sex workers.
Well, is she a sex worker? Well, yeah, I guess so, because she's dressed up like a sex worker, right? I mean, that's not a massage.
Bro, I think it's safe to infer that there was banging going on. Oh, my God. So that was... I forgot if it was two different locations or if that was all on the Universal backlot.
No, that's Sacred Heart Hospital. Everything that we did in
that hallway. The prostitute was in the hospital.
And then, pulling off my gown was in the hospital. The only thing that the only thing that is on the lot is you zip from the zip line on is you at the lot.
Right.
Now, I remember I had to go into the tower of that building and wait to pretend like it was me standing behind you. That was the only reason why. And then I had to zip down. I didn't zip down, but through the fake zip down. Right.
That was so funny. So yeah, so those buildings on the back lot, they don't have interiors. They're just facades. And so when we were all of that stuff, even you're right, Donald, even us when I rip off your gown, that's
they built a window in the wall that was one of the doors, right. And we did it there.
Right, right.
And then the building they made the hallway I think it was the first floor, they made the hallway look like apartment building.
Right.
And
it
was like that for a while too.
Yeah, you're right. But dude, how funny is it when I rip off your gown?
It was hilarious. It's a great moment. It's a great moment.
Right, so then we have the coolest shot in Scrubs history where I zip line across the street and then the stuntman nailed. I did zip lining, but I stopped shy of nailing that. What do you call those things? What do you call the roll down protector of the store?
The storefront gate.
Yeah, whatever it is. And the guy fucking really took a nice hit to that.
Then shakes in the air. He shimmies in the air, dude.
How
do you do that? He hits the wall and propels off the wall using his body. He shimmies in the air like the force. I don't know how you do it. He hit the wall, and after he hit the wall, that split second in the air, he shakes and then falls.
Now, I love that when I pop up, I've got spaghetti in my hair, and yeah. I'm trying to act like it's just a coincidence we're running into each other. And I go, Molly? So funny.
So funny, man. Like, And then the conversation that you two have, and
the note, Sarah Elliott gets me back, man. Now we're even.
Who's I wish your love?
That's Carrie Brothers.
I knew it was Carrie. Honestly, over you.
I think we should end the show with it, since it's one of the rare opportunities we can play our friends' music. That is the Carrie Brothers.
I used to sleep to that song. Around this time, I needed this song so bad. I wish your love away. Oh my gosh. Honestly over you.
You guys are sleeping on Carrie Brothers if you're not listening to his music. And by the way, it's one man's name. Carrie Brothers is his last name. So many people think it's the Carrie Brothers.
No, it's Carrie Brothers.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of people.
I agree with you.
Daniel's one of those people who thought it was Carrie Brothers.
It's like, I can't find the Carrie Brothers anywhere, man. Where?
Been looking for him.
Daniel, remind me, we're going to end the show with Carrie Brothers, the human, not a pair of brothers. And we're going to do a fan call. I guess we're getting closer. I still have more to talk about, but we're going to take a break and we're going to go to the fan call.
Yes.
Right? We'll be right back after these words from our friends at. And we're back. By the way, we got to talk about the live show because that's getting more real, right, Joelle?
It's starting to move.
Yes. It's happening.
All I know is I woke up this morning and it was like 65 emails.
Yeah, well, shit's happening, so bro.
It's really, I couldn't catch up. I had to read. I was like, dang, oh my gosh. This is like reading a script.
Well, while you're sleeping, we're planning.
Well, I'm caught up now and I love it.
We're aiming for. This isn't solidified, right, Joelle? But we're aiming for the last Friday in March.
Yes.
That's right.
And then it'll be like maybe 2 hours.
Somewhere in there.
And I found this app. One of my followers on Instagram, which you should be if you're not following me. Come on. I'm close to 1.5. I need to get over the edge. I need to edge. Edge me, guys. Edge me.
Oh, boy.
All right, sorry. You guys, one of my followers' friends told me that there's this website. You can just do, it's called like instant straw polls or something.
Straw poll. Yeah,
straw poll. So we can just tell everyone to go on there and ask a question and they can, and it's like instant. You'll see like the numbers move. So we can use that, Donald, since the program we're using to do the live show doesn't have a poll feature, but we learned that we could do it separately if we want to.
Let's do it.
And
we
what
are
else?
Going to poll you and play. We should play Family Feud.
We asked 100 listeners.
I'm dead serious, though.
Good answer.
I was reached out to see if my family wanted to play Family Feud.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. My family does not live in Los Angeles, California.
So they can fucking get a RV if they don't want to fly.
I was saying I have a family right here at Fake Doctors Real Friends. Why
Stop
not
it.
Do a Fake Doctors Real Friends? If I could get it to happen, why couldn't we do a Fake Doctors Real Friends Family Feud? We could promote the show we could be on Family Feud. I'm just saying it's possible. I don't know.
That's amazing. Look how happy Daniel is about the idea of being.
I love.
I don't know
game
if that's. I don't know if it's. I don't know if it. I don't know if.
Well, first of all, I have two thoughts. I have two thoughts. I would love to go on Family Feud as our Fake Doctors Real Friends family. But also, I would be thoroughly entertained by your actual family going.
I'm scared to do that. I would be too scared to do that. I'm sorry.
Your mom would be hilarious, Donald.
Yeah, I know. You know what? And my dad would be hilarious. And
your brothers would be hilarious.
And
Casey would be hilarious.
And I would be so embarrassed. And so, therefore, listen, I love my family.
These listeners, they know Casey a little bit from listening to the show. She's so funny and charming. You obviously don't know your mom and your brothers. I mean, they would be hilarious. I don't know why you're even thinking about this. But, yeah, I'd rather it be us anyway.
I think it should be us. And we can.
But they're not
going to
choose like a podcast. Yeah, obviously we could do it for charity.
Why not? I got you, dude. I got me and you. Are you kidding me? They'd be like, wait, hold up. You and Zach are willing to do it? You think you could maybe get like Sarah?
But then they're gonna go down the Scrubs cast wormhole where I'd rather have Joelle and Daniel.
You honor me.
I would rather that too, because then we're promoting Fake Doctors Real Friends.
Right.
Scrubs is no longer on, and this promotes Scrubs.
Anyway,
tell them
that we're interested. As long as we can promote our podcast. All right, let's go to the fan.
My
call.
Wife's gonna lose her shit.
Well, wait, your wife can come on too, because she's technically part of the podcast.
Yeah, I know. She was like, this is what she said. This is
and I'll get Florence on. Too. No, Florence isn't going to do it.
That's what my wife said. My wife said, I know.
Florence probably doesn't even know what, I'm sure she doesn't know what Family Feud is. She doesn't grow up on that like we did.
I grew up on it. And it's Steve Harvey too. So,
I know.
You know, come on, buddy.
I just want to, say something that's worthy of a Steve Harvey deadpan face.
Yes.
So look, if you're listening to Family Feud, I guess this is the pitch right here.
I don't know. I don't know if the bookers at Family Feud listen to the podcast, but we're down.
They know what's good for
them. All right, let's bring in the caller. What do we got today?
We have two people.
Okay. Hello.
Give it up for Rachel Liberty and Wright. Right? Is that your name? Right?
That's right.
It's Tyler. I'm sorry. I don't know why it's like.
And Tyler, who is at the hospital with the dopest pool badge I've ever seen in my life. He got a pool badge. You too can get a pool badge.
All right. First of all, they're called badge pulls, but okay.
Same
thing.
So
I want to tell the listeners that Tyler appears to work in a hospital. Is that correct?
I work for a hospital. I'm actually in a training room. This is my office at a high school.
Okay. I have lots of questions. But more importantly, he's wearing a badge pull with our faces on it, which
or
you too could
badge.
Have. It's. I think, well, maybe, yeah, it's a badge pull, but okay. they're for sale, all right? Get it for your friends and for your friends who need badge pulls. You guys, what's going on? We know nothing. We have a two very good-looking people. I'm hoping that you're dating and in love with each other and separated or something. Joelle, is that the story?
Well, I don't want them to be separated.
No, but they're not in the same Zoom window, so I'm thinking it's like a long-lost love that can't be, forbidden love. Jack going into the ocean at the end of Titanic.
He could have got on that. He could have got on
Rachel,
that.
There's plenty of room on the door for Tyler. Sorry, that's a deep Titanic joke. All right, go ahead, Rachel. What's going on here?
No, we're both like, we're at separate workplaces right now. So not a long distance situation.
Oh, okay. I was trying to make it more romantic.
First of all, where are you from and where are you at?
We are in Cleveland, Eastside Cleveland area.
Okay.
And I had to remind myself Donald, what's the place that you love to eat in Cleveland again?
Oh, God. What is
there's a I'm bunch sorry. There's Slimans.
Slimans. That's one I was thinking of. I
and
need to go check it out.
And there's also Mabel's.
Mabel's. Okay.
Barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Down on East 4th.
Yeah, it's on East 4th.
Well, Tyler wrote in because he wanted us to help fix Rachel's life.
Oh, okay. We'll get okay, right to it, Tyler. Right, tell us.
Well, I Rachel is a physician.
Hold on. One second. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Cleveland, Ohio's favorite segment. It's time to fix your life.
Tyler, well, you guys are a couple, right?
Yes. Yes, sir. We are.
Okay. And you are in different workplaces. So,
are you
both in the medical fields?
Yes, sir. I'm an athletic trainer in the sports medicine realm. Rachel, and she'll explain more clearly. She is a doctor, a resident physician, in the Cleveland hospital systems. I've been emailing Joelle, on a day-to-day basis, kind of like saying, hey, you know, I'd really like to give Rachel some recognition for all the hard work. She's going through a bit of a career crisis right now of where her job's going. And I really want to give her a little bit of a platform and also some recognition for all the work. One thing with scrubs is being a resident in scrubs, and it's like you work so much and you get little to no time for yourself, and the recognition and the just overall what you deserve to be given at for all you sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And Joelle picked up on it, and I really just wanted to give Rachel a little bit of like just having you guys give her some advice on some.
Well, we will, but I got to start off by saying are you guys married or dating?
Dating.
I got to say, you're a really good boyfriend because you've been stalking Joelle to give your partner some affirmation / advice. And that just, I don't know. That just means that I sense that you're a good man.
Thank you. Thank you.
It might be the badge pull, but I just something about you. All right, Rachel, how can we fix your life? Not only do you have Donald, but you have Daniel and Joelle. We're here for you. This is your time to shine. No one's listening. No one across the earth is listening but us six.
Nobody can hear you. Just us.
Just us.
What happens here stays here.
Yes. No, you can talk shit about your job, whatever you want.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I think the biggest thing, I guess, you know, in terms of fix my life, which, yes, I should take a second and say that this is amazing that Tyler did this. Definitely the probably the most supportive thing anyone's ever done for me. So thank you.
Good work, Tyler.
But I think in terms of, you know, how you guys can help out or maybe some advice is how to get through the pay your dues kind of, you know, time in your career. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've 17, 18 years old, good at science. So I figured why not just go to, you know, do med school, do that process, go through pre-med, and you're kind of on this journey and you wake up one day and you struggle to realize like, is this really what I even want to be doing? Am I really enjoying this? And, I'm sure in your own personal lives, obviously professionally, you guys played residents, were residents who had to go through residency and the concept of paying your dues. So just kind of curious in your own lives, when have you guys had to do that? And like, how can I navigate this time where I'm just kind of climbing up a ladder and hoping that I get to the top and it's a great view, but right now it's pretty tough.
Well, we have the perfect analogy, and it's not in being medicine, because when we were pretending to be in medicine, we were stars getting treated really well and having our own personal dressing rooms, and all we had to do was go try and make people laugh. But the analogy that's perfect is trying to be actors, because we had – you at least have a guarantee that if you work your ass off and make it through, you're going to be, you know, the highest thing you can be in society, a doctor that helps people. I mean, I don't think that there's any greater way you can give back to society. I mean, it's just the greatest, in my mind, the greatest honor and career there is. But Donald and I, you know, had to go out there with no idea if we would ever get work. In fact, for my first audition was when I was 13 years old. I got little things here and there, but I didn't really get a meaningful job until 25. Right, Donald? Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah. You know, I think I feel like I'm still paying my dues. I'm still to the, it's a journey. You know what I mean? You said it in everything you were talking about. You said the key word. It is a journey. That's the best part of this whole thing. Paying your dues and getting the accolades for putting the work in. That's still a part of the journey, because at the end of Scrubs, I'm still an actor and I'm still searching and trying to get another job. You know what I mean? I'm still trying to continue and further my career. And there was you're always going to have to pay your dues. And there's going to be great times. There's going to be times where you're like, this is so awesome. And there are going to be times where it's like, I don't know why I'm doing this. But it's the journey that's the reward is the journey. I promise you, it's not. There's nothing else. You'll get so much. You'll get so much out of it when it stops becoming. Well, if I work this hard, I'm gonna get this, and just accept that. You know, I love what I do. Let me just experience what it has.
Think about also like the different, I mean, you are so blessed in a way that most people aren't, in that you every day can make a difference in someone's life. You know, most people who are good, we hope to change people's lives for the better. You know, we do this little comedy show. We hope we make people giggle a little bit. We go out in the real world. I think that we like to say that we are good human beings. You are doing something that every day there is tangible evidence that you're making a difference in people's lives. And I know we know how hard it is just from faking it and getting to know real doctors. We know how hard it is for you. But I mean, obviously your workload will lighten up in time. And just think about that. I think you just have the greatest gift, the ability to genuinely affect people's lives for the better. I can't imagine a greater honor than that.
Well, yeah, maybe you don't hear it enough. You're a hero. You know what I mean? Maybe that's something you don't hear enough. Maybe that's what you need to hear, you know, more often. And it's true. You know, I don't know what your situation is. I don't know, but you're definitely in the path of what's killing a lot of Americans right now, just by being in a hospital, you know what I mean? So you are a hero, and you need to understand that. And I know to your magnitude, I don't even know how to explain what it is that you go through. But from my experience, the lows are just are low, but the highs are so wonderful and so rewarding. And you know, just stay the path and stay focused.
Not to mention, there's so many people in your position that don't have a partner that they're crazy about.
Well, that don't have a partner that's as supportive.
Well, supportive, but also, I mean, look at the guy. He's a stud. You're doing really well.
You work out, man. You work out.
Don't get into his muscles, though. Okay. All right, listen.
Thank you, Rachel.
I just want to say, like, I know it's hard, but like, there's so many people, no matter what the career, but in particularly medicine, I'm sure, who are doing this all alone and are doing it all like, ugh, fucking, like, this is so hard. I have no one, but I have no one to come home to because I'm so focused on my career. You're like in a relationship with this awesome guy who's stalking Joelle to get you a pep talk from us. Like, so you got to just focus on how blessed you are for all the things. I mean, look what's happening in your life. You're like going to be, you are a doctor. You are going to be a career doctor and all the lives you'll affect. And you got this great fella. Jesus, I think your life's amazing.
It is true. I mean, there is a piece of trying to, you know, stop the train of just kind of where am I going and looking around and seeing what I have now, for sure. Need to, yes. appreciate that. And I think, you know, taking time, stepping away and seeing the bigger picture, because there's just a lot of tiny details and mundane tasks, and you know, the day-to-day can get blurry and you can forget the things that you guys have brought up that come with the job and come with the career. So,
I mean, definitely. Just think about, I mean, I'm envious of the difference that you can make in the world. You know, all we can do is hopefully we entertain people. Hopefully we make them laugh. Hopefully occasionally we bring a tear to their eye. And I'm happy with that. Being a storyteller I feel so fucking lucky I get to do it in any capacity. But for you, I'm envious of the fact that you literally, and sometimes it will be as extreme as saving someone's life. And sometimes it'll just be like the bedside manner of sitting there and listening to someone who's distraught and nodding your head and making them feel better. I mean, you can make such a difference in the world. That's fucking thrilling.
Yeah. Again, all things that get like tossed aside sometimes during, you know, the training period of the career, where it just seems like there's more to learn and more hours to work. And you know, it's easy to forget about those moments at the bedside, but you're exactly right. They definitely can keep me going.
You're nearing the end.
Well, true. You're always going to have to learn something, though.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying how much longer of this insane, you have no control over your hours situation?
About a year and a half. So yeah, all right. Definitely.
Well, I mean, look how far you've made it. I know sometimes I'm sure you want to give up and say, fuck this, but I mean, you're so close to that. And I don't know. I'm happy for you. I'm excited for you. Do you have a specialty that you want to go into?
So I work with in pediatrics. So that's,
oh my God, you buried the lead.
Yeah, I get to work with all the kids, the young and the older kids. So I like working with the teenagers primarily. Those are actually my favorite patients if I had to pick. So potentially, you know, probably the reason why Tyler and I even linked up in the first place. I have an interest in sports medicine as well. So something in those lines.
Well, I mean,
Bumble came through for us.
Bumble. You guys are Bumble?
Shout out to Bumble.
Bumble. Joelle.
I'm taking notes.
We're trying, as you know from listening to the podcast, we're trying to get a dating app to sponsor us so we can do a whole Joelle's segment on her dating. If you remember some of the theme songs that were very popular.
Oh, man. Do you remember Bumblebee Tuna? Speaking of Bumble.
Bumblebee Tuna.
I love a salad made with Bumblebee.
Is that the lyric?
Bumblebee.
That's not the lyric.
Yeah, it is.
I love a salad made with Bumblebee.
Bumblebee.
all right. So, wow. You know, we didn't even know we were pediatric. So that's even more, I mean, that's even more special. Listen, there's an expression that my mom taught me. I always think about, and of course you've probably heard it. This too shall pass. And it's important to remember it when things are going great, that you need to savor it because this too shall pass.
Yep.
And remember it when things are fucking shitty because this too shall pass. So get that tattooed on your wrist.
Yeah, I've definitely said it plenty of call shifts before.
If not your wrist, your forehead.
Yeah, not for it. She's too nice and sweet and pretty for that on her forehead. And I'm sure that Tyler doesn't want a tattoo on her forehead. But maybe, you know, little wrist spot right there. Whatever.
Yeah. Shake it, yeah.
All right. I don't know what else to say other than I'm happy for you guys. I'm happy about Bumble. If you're single, you got to see these two people. They're both like in the medical profession and they look like models. They're on Bumble for you. I'm giving Bumble a plug for no reason. Bumble, we are a fucking advertiser.
Thank you. You Joelle, honor me.
Joelle, oh, see? Daniel's catchphrase. Joelle, let's sign you up for Bumble, even if they're not a sponsor. I think we can make a difference.
Okay.
Bumble's the one that Bumble's the one that gets into your Facebook friends, right?
Yep. And the woman has to reach out first.
Oh.
So.
Oh, look at you. You made the first move.
I made the first move.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
You stud you.
Oh, look at you, Tyler.
Tyler, you stud.
Tyler.
It's only right. It's only right. She came to you. It's only right that you do this for her.
Yeah.
I love that. Couple. Shout out. Scratch my back. I scratch yours. Shout out.
Yeah. How long have you been dating?
Early fall.
Oh, it's relatively
and
new.
And it's brand new, too.
Aww. Yeah, he's, dude, he's pulling out all the stops early on. He's
you don't have to do this yet. Well, you don't have to do this. You were supposed to save this for like seven.
Shut up. He's got a good one. He's got a fucking beautiful doctor on the hook. You think he's going to fuck it up?
And that's where I want to just throw out, like, thank you so much, Joelle. Like, I just tried for the past couple, like, just a month. I've been trying day to day of just like, hey. Like given the detail and finally like I'm gonna put a picture of us, see if that gets there, like try to mix it up. So I guess to anybody who's trying to get on here, keep working. Joelle sees it. She's going to get to you.
I appreciate that, Tyler.
But no dick pics. Please, no dick pics.
No
dick pics are an automatic disqualification.
Yeah, dick pics are
and I didn't know about this.
Dick pics are an automatic disqualification.
Well, now you know. Now you know.
Tyler, by the way, Tyler was going to resort. He was 2 weeks away from trying that, but he didn't do it.
The cum gutters?
Yes. Talking about cum gutters?
Yeah. Oh, no.
He brought it up.
Little sea gutters, baby.
Now we're back here.
Don't say sea gutters in front of Rachel. She's too innocent to know about that.
She's not innocent. Oh, she's seen. She's,
well, she diagnoses, sir. You have cum gutters. She doesn't.
Oh, boy. So sorry you can't hear Rachel.
Oh, my God.
All right. We got to go. Thank you, guys.
Wait, do you guys have any questions? Do you guys have any questions?
Do you have time?
We did an extra long segment, Donald. We're going an hour and a half.
This is
here.
An extra long episode, dude. This
I know, but we got more to say about the episode. All right. Okay. One quick question. Go ahead.
Rachel, it's all you.
All right. So my question is, it's hour 30. You guys are, you know, you're finishing being awake for 30 hours. You're in the hospital. What's your go-to meal? You finally leave the hospital. You have freedom after being awake for so long. So what's your go-to? What do you go get?
Oof. Mom's pot roast. It's hearty. It's warm.
This is all the doctors think about for like the last 16 hours of a call shift. Is like, what am I going to eat when I'm gone out of here? When
I was younger, it would have been steak night. We're going to eat it right. Steak night.
Mine's going to be a Beyond Burger cheeseburger with all the fixings, fries, and an Oreo cookie milkshake.
Ooh.
Yep.
But now that I'm an adult, my meal after I get out, it's usually something like, it's something crazy, like Krispy Kreme donuts and a beer. You can't beat it.
Yep. A shower beer.
Wow. You can't beat it.
Love a shower beer.
Okay.
Dan, did you have a meal?
Sure. 3x3 from In-N-Out.
Wow.
What's a three by three?
A double-double is two patties, two slices of cheese. 3x3 is three patties, three slices of cheese. And if we're getting specific, extra toast on the bun, mustard, fried pickles, no lettuce, no tomato.
You say that.
I've done this before.
You're one of those guys at In-N-Out who's got a very long order, aren't you?
I've been eating In-N-Out since I was a child, so I got to figure out.
You're Sally from When Harry Met Sally, dude. You're Sally from When Harry Met Sally, dude.
Yeah.
I don't want to like take us away too quickly. I just want to say if I can do a shout out. Shout out!
Oh my God!
I have to shout out because Scrubs has changed my life. Just like influenced me when I was younger, and big shout out to my best friend whose name is Tyler Perry. That's his name.
Wow, he's so successful. Wow.
Yeah. So I just want to say shout out to him. Thank you so much.
Loved your work as Madea.
Yes, you're wonderful as Madea, and you built a fake White House apparently on your own back lot in Atlanta. Is that where he makes his shows, Atlanta?
I believe so.
Yeah, shout out Atlanta, Tyler Perry doing it.
Tyler Perry doing it. And I didn't know that Tyler Perry was friends with Mr. Wright here, but they're buddies.
All right, shouting out to my little brother, John. He's a sophomore over in college. I hope he's enjoying an apple teeny. I got him all the supplies for Christmas. He loves the show, and him and his roommate are just hanging out, trying to be safe with COVID. So hope you're having a good Friday night with your apple teenies.
Good. Now, Rachel, when you get upset and you want to go fetal and you're frustrated at your job, I want you to think of us telling you, this too shall pass.
Oh, That's gonna.
Or you can just look. Or you can just look in the mirror at your new forehead tattoo. Or as. Oh, make sure you get it backwards on your forehead so that it'll look right in the mirror.
True. Or and then I can Tom, walk in with every patient and just reassure them without even saying a word.
Just point. You'll just point to your forehead. Hey, when they're sad, they're like, "I'm so fucking sick of being sick." You're like, "Look at this. Look at this."
Or as Tom Cavanaugh once sang at Upfronts. I can be your hero, baby. You
yeah,
can
a little 4-year-old
take
that.
My breath away.
Okay. On that note, we're gonna let you guys go. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you guys so much.
Later,
you
wow,
take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yay.
Well, that was so nice. What lovely people.
Oh, so kind.
It's always great having them on.
Oh, they were cute. I hope we inspired. I hope we gave her a good pep talk.
I hope so, too, because I know how she feels, man.
All right. Let's end on a funny note because we got all worked up. Yeah. I want to talk about just the end of the episode. That scene when Molly Shannon's character breaks down, I believe if you look at the shot, she's very close to the lens and Dr. Cox is in the doorway and they're both in focus. So if I'm not mistaken, we used something called a split field diopter, which enables you to have something very close. It's basically a half a lens that screws onto the front of your lens that allows you to match the focal distance. And I'm really into them and have used them a few times. They always have a out of focus seam.
Centerpiece, yeah.
Yeah. So if you notice, if you go back and watch, when Cox is in the doorway, he kind of leans into it for a second and kind of goes out of focus. But that's how you get that shot. And the other thing I want to tell you about that is when I first showed it to Bill, there was other coverage in that scene, but that shot was so powerful and Molly Shannon's performance was so powerful that I said to Bill, please don't cut it. Please don't use any of the other cuts. In my cut, I never cut away. You stayed on that shot the whole time. And to his credit, he left it in his final edit. Because I just thought, you know, when a performance is that good, you know, don't cut it up. Show the audience that this is all real and happening. This isn't manufactured in the edit room. You know?
Yeah. Dude, I mean, I just want to recap the whole show once again by saying, one, great job.
Two,
Molly Shannon, wow, holy cow.
Yeah.
Really phenomenal performance in this episode of Scrubs. And same, and Johnny C also, it takes two to tango, and he played the other part in those scenes very well to make her performance work. So shout out Johnny C as well. This is one of those episodes. This is why I got into acting. I had dreams of doing things like this. You know what I mean? Going on adventures like this. This is the type of television I like. You know, these are the type of movies I like.
Mm-hmm. Action comedy. I mean, that's what this was sort of an action comedy episode.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an epic journey. It's a quest. I like movies like this, and I like TV shows like this, and so. You know, this is my favorite episode so far.
Me too.
For sure.
Me too. Well, this was fun. And thank you for your kind words. And everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be coming to you soon. This is the last episode without the sound machine working. I'm very excited to try that out. We're going to come to you with more info about the live show, which is coming together likely for the last Friday in March. So put that in your calendar right now, because that is, I believe, March 26th. Yes, March 26th. Put a save the date in your calendar, because that's when we're aiming to come to you live. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. All right. We love you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Joelle, Daniel, thank you for everything.
Always.
Thank you, sir.
Have a glorious weekend. And here's Kerry Brothers with the song we all love, Honestly.
Think I'm going home. Think I'm getting lost for a while. tired of getting stoned. I'm thinking about you and I. So I'll fall away on my dreams, though I still believe in everything. I wish you love.
You